following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Gazette News Group presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Giese, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast. Available wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, for our first podcast in March. And it's our weekly visit with Union Men's head hockey coach Josh Algy. And here we are in March, Josh, and it's tournament time.
Yeah, best time of the year. Should be a lot of fun here.
Yeah, with the ECAC hockey tournament, first round single elimination games get underway this weekend. And Union will host Brown. Union the 5th seed, Brown the 12th seed. That game will be 5 p.m. on Saturday at M&T Bank Center. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later. But Union wrapped up the ECAC hockey regular season last weekend with games at Yale on Friday and at Brown on Saturday. The ECACH tournament first-round bye slot was still in play for the sixth-place Garnet Chargers. They entered the weekend 4 points behind Princeton for that final first-round bye slot. Union trailed fifth-place Harvard by 1 point. While Union was set to play on Friday against Yale, Harvard was hosting Princeton. Union needed to win either in regulation or overtime, while Harvard needed to beat Princeton to keep the Garnet Chargers' first-round bye hopes alive. So what is the message to your team going into the game? Is it just focused on the game against a team that beat you 4-1 in January and not worry about Harvard-Princeton?
Yeah, I thought our mindset was just, you know, try to jump on them and get the lead and you know, make sure we take care of business against a team that, you know, outplayed us the last time we played them.
Well, things start well for Union. 7:51 into the game, Colby MacArthur wins a faceoff in the Yale right circle, and he draws it back to Ben Muethersbaugh, who knows what to do with the puck.
It's a heavy workload, and oh, quick off the draw, and it goes in. It's Muethersbaugh with the tally and Union lead. Just a clean faceoff win, bang, bang. Right back, like you mentioned, Muethersbaugh puts Union ahead 1-0.
Genuinely, if you blinked, you missed it, as both you and I almost missed that one quick off the draw. And the sophomore from New Hampshire has goal number 16 on the season.
That was the ESPN Plus call. Union is up 1-0. I mean, talk about the execution between MacArthur and Muethersbaugh.
Yeah, they've really been, you know, playing well together, and they just have the ability to find each other and create for each other.
Well, Union's playing well. I'm really in control of the game, but things take an unfortunate turn for Union with 4:50 left in the first. Defenseman Will Felicio has the puck in the Union left circle. He has no one around him and appears to have an open lane to take the puck out of the zone. Instead, he tries a cross-ice pass to Cal Mell, but Kalen Zito intercepts the pass. He goes in on Cameron Corpy and scores to tie it. I mean, there's really no way to sugarcoat this, Josh, about the play. It wasn't good and really changed the game's momentum. Did you ask Felicio about his decision?
Well, we talked about it, in video this week and just want to correct it. Will is a tremendously talented player, has the ability to make really high end plays for us. With that being said, when you do that, sometimes you can turn a puck over, and he's learning, you know, the right times to hold on to pucks and versus, you know, the time just to take the ice and get the puck in deep. And luckily for us, it wasn't in the playoffs. It wasn't something that ended up costing us the game. And we were able to fight back.
Well, the period ends 1-1. Union outshoots Yale 15-8. I mean, what was their frustration in the locker room because of the way you really dominated that period?
Well, I thought we had some opportunities to extend our lead when it was 1-0, and didn't take advantage of it. And, obviously with the last time we played them, it's in the back of your mind of, hey, we gotta convert on some of these chances. And I think it was a little frustrating for sure.
Well, the second period gets underway, and 36 seconds into the period, David Chen scores to give Yale a 2-1 lead. Then with 11:38 left in the period, Will Richter makes it 3-1 Yale. With what's at stake, I mean, how disappointing was it to be down by two?
It wasn't the way we drew it up. And, I mean, for us, you know, we like to play from the front. We want to extend our leads when we have opportunities. And, we dug ourselves a little bit of a hole.
Well, as we have seen lately, the Garnet Chargers didn't let the deficit bother them. They closed the gap to 1 when Nate Hanley, on a nice backhand pass from the Yale right circle, sets up at Etienne Lessard.
Beautiful drop pass, and Union Etienne Lassard puts away his fourth goal of the season.
We'll talk about Hanley's pass. He was skating on the right wing when he made that pass from the circle. It was almost like he had eyes in the back of his head.
Yeah, great play by Nate. Drove the puck deep and then, you know, threw it back to Etienne. Really nice play all around, and probably doesn't get credit for it, but a great play by Drew Sutton. He stick-lifted their player, got possession. Doesn't even get a point because he moved it. I'm not quite sure who he moved it to, but then whoever got it found Nate, and then Nate found Lassard. But also, Drew just drove the net extremely hard, ended up, you know, bringing a defenseman with him, which opened up Etienne.
Yale gets its two-goal lead back less than 2 minutes later when Isai Pesonen scores. But with 2:11 left in the period, Colby MacArthur on a nice pass from Cal Mell cuts it to a one-goal game again.
Knocked down Cal Mell, plenty of time, and there's one pulled back for Union. Cal Mell with a pretty dangle, head was up all the time, and Colby MacArthur puts it a play. It's now Yale 4, Union 3.
Talk about Mel's pass. You were praising it when we talked after the game Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, one of those things that as a coach, you just want to get the puck on net. And, you know, obviously I didn't see what he saw. And great vision by him, great poise. Finds Colby on the back door for an easy tap-in. Unbelievable pass.
Well, MacArthur appeared to tie the game late in the second period, but it was waved off for a high stick. You had used a challenge earlier in the game and lost it. Did you think about challenging, or was risking a delay of game penalty not worth the challenge?
I thought it live that it was a high stick, so I wasn't really contemplating. Spoke to Sean Speck, who's our eye in the sky, and he thought it was too risky. So we felt pretty comfortable that it was a high stick.
Well, it's 4-3 after two, and even though you're down one at this point, and I imagine the mood is a little bit better because of that MacArthur goal.
Yeah, that was a huge goal for us to cut it to within one. And, we feel like if we're plus or minus one in the third period, we're going to win. And, that's where we sat.
Well, the third period gets underway, and 4:22 into it, Ben Muethersbaugh ties it.
It's a turnover in a dangerous area for Muethersbaugh. We've now seen it on both sides of the ice, Rob. Both teams have made mistakes in their defensive zone, and the opponents are always there to pounce.
Muethersbaugh especially. We already know how dangerous of a player he is. Yeah, another turnover, chipped up the boards. Maybe a tough bounce for the Bulldogs.
Big goal there by Ben.
Yeah, he's been, clutch for us all season, and we needed one at that point, and a great play.
Well, Union has some chances, but regulation ends 4-4. Meanwhile, just as regulation was ending, we learned that Harvard helped Union out by rallying from a 3-1 deficit to beat Princeton 5-3. Were you aware of the result before overtime started?
We were aware. We asked, again, Sean's kind of monitoring everything for us. We had a talk as a team, and we decided we would be pulling the goalie if we needed to in overtime. So, luckily, we didn't have to.
Well, what was the message to the team before overtime started?
Just that we needed the win in overtime. We didn't want to win it in a shootout. Obviously, you want to get the point, but we felt like at that point we needed to win in overtime.
Well, didn't take long. 34 seconds, in fact, when Brandon Burr ended it.
Etienne Lassard throws it out in front. The chance for Colby MacArthur just goes wide. Will Richter trying to chase it down, but Brandon Buehr gets there. Buehr wins that race. It's a 2-on-1. Buehr scores, and that'll do it. Seconds into overtime, Union get the overtime winner from Brandon Buehr, his 18th goal of the season.
A big win for Union. It was Burr's second overtime winner of the season. The other came in the Capital District Mayor's Cup game against RPI. It also ended an 8-game goalless drought in ECAC hockey play for Burr. I mean, how clutch was that?
Yeah, a lot went into that. And, I think just before the game, they gave the Scholar Athlete of the Year to David Chen, which, all kudos to him, great award, but a little frustrated that they did it with, us in the building and Brandon in. So I was really glad that Brandon was able to end the game because I thought that I just didn't like how that went down.
Brandon was a finalist for that award?
Yeah, he was in the final three, you know, him and then David Chen and Tristan Sarsland.
Well, we don't know half the stuff because the ECHA hockey doesn't bother to send out press releases. You have to basically go on their website, find stuff, or if they tweet it out. But you know, you can't live on X and social media 24/7. But I digress.
Well, they didn't even let me know that they were going to be giving it to him either. So yeah. I just, again, was happy Brandon was able to win it. And, you know, him coming back from that injury where, you know, he was out for a little bit, great to have him back and on the score sheet.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to Saturday. Union's taking on Brown, a team locked into the 12th seed, so it really has nothing to play for. Meanwhile, Union is 2 points behind Harvard and Princeton, who are tied for that final first-round bye slot. It's pretty simple. Union needs to win in regulation and then get help from Quinnipiac, which played Harvard, and Dartmouth, which faced Princeton. Well, late Friday night, the conference sent an email detailing where teams can finish and on the tiebreakers. And in the email, the situations for Quinnipiac, Cornell, and Dartmouth, the top three teams in the standings, are listed first. Then it comes to Harvard, Princeton, Union. There was just one line. See attachment for full breakdown. Yes, there was a two-page PDF attached to the press release breaking down all the tiebreaker scenarios. There were eight scenarios, and as I wrote in my Monday Final Horn column, my head was spinning reading them all, and I felt like I was in a trigonometry class. Did you read that two-page attachment?
Yeah, we went through every scenario, you know, just as a staff to make sure, you know, we were prepared in case we needed to, you know, do something out of the ordinary. You know, some of the stuff was, you know, not relevant to us when it went down to Harvard and Princeton, so we kind of disregarded that. But anything where you saw Union's name, we kind of dove into to make sure we had a good understanding of what we needed.
What is the message to the team against, Brown, a team you beat 4-0 in January?
Well, it was real simple for us. A loss, you know you're getting the six, you know, and a win, you give yourself a chance at 4 or 5. So we were focused on just trying to win, and whatever else happened, we couldn't control. So just go out there and focus in on us.
Well, you made two lineup changes. Troy Pelton, the Clifton Park native, replaced Connor Smith on the fourth line. To me, the significant change was Ollie Chesler replacing Will Felicio. Besides the turnover, Felicio took an undisciplined roughing penalty in the third period when the score was tied at 4. Was there a message being sent to Will?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke with Will. Obviously, it's hard to take him out of the lineup because he is so talented. But this is the time of the year where we need discipline and we need, you know, need consistency, and you need to know what you're going to get. And at times, you know, Will is just, he's so talented that he can skate himself into trouble, but he usually skates himself out. So I just went over what we expected with consistency with him and just being disciplined. And like Will is, he took it extremely well, was an unbelievable teammate and cheering everybody on. And, you know, has been great this week in practice.
It didn't take long for Union to get the game's first goal. Pelton makes an immediate impact, and Jacob Jeanette delivers 4:39 into the game.
The right side, good look, shot, save, rebound, and scored! Shea left the rebound out, and Jacob Jeanette was Johnny on the spot. Got inside position on a couple of bears, and it's 1-0 Union.
The call of Dr. Mike Rubin on ESPN Plus. Union takes that 1-0 lead. The chemistry between Jeanette and Pelton continues, and you know Pelton set up those two Jeanette goals in last Friday's 4-1 win over Harvard. And of course, Ethan Benz is on that line. It seems like it got a pretty good fourth line there.
Yeah, they're all big bodies. They all move pretty well. They all compete extremely hard. So I think that's the biggest thing is, again, you know what you're going to get out of them. You know that they're gonna work hard, and they're going to keep the game simple.
Well, it was a dominating first period. Union outshot Brown 17-5, but only up 1-0. Any concern about not scoring more than one goal, or were you happy with the period?
I think there were some, you know, chances we felt like we should finish. So, you know, when you have a team down, you want to, you know, keep extending that lead. And so, yeah, I think we were a little concerned just because, you know, I think 20 seconds into the period, they got a really good chance. And then after that, like we were really tight.
Well, let's move to the second period. Union continues to play well. Brown is making his push, but with 4:38 left, Ben Muethersbaugh makes it 2-0.
Out ahead, Bjor right side. I haven't called his name too much. Desiderio, MacArthur, in front, scored! tic-tac-toe passing for Ben Muethersbaugh. He was left all alone in the kill zone, able to pull it back, and he has his 18th goal of the season. Muethersbaugh and Buehr and MacArthur have been a three-headed monster for this Garnet Charger team. And well, the body language of the Brown Bears is just not good. Look at that. That is just a beautiful shot.
Well, Muethersbaugh has been hot of late. That was his fifth two-goal game of the season. I'm sorry, he has had five two-goal games this season. What's been the key to his success?
Well, I think he just, you know, is such a good shooter. I mean, and he's started to get into the traffic areas more, which for him is where he becomes really dangerous. Sometimes it, when, you know, you just get perimeter and are looking for that one-timer, you get one-dimensional, and he's starting to really become, you know, a better playmaker as he's made some really good passes out of his one-timing position, but also now gets to that high traffic area.
Well, the second period ends 2-0. Union is still in control. I mean, how do you like the way your team is playing?
I felt like we were in a good spot, and, you know, we're 20 minutes away from, you know, having a chance at a lot of different opportunities.
Well, the third period gets going, and the Union does a good job protecting the lead. The Garner Chargers nearly make it 3-0 when Troy Pelton and Ethan Benz had a 2-1-0. But they got, I think, got a little too fancy with the passing and didn't score. A little frustrating, or was he okay with that?
Yeah, a little frustrating. Yeah. I think, you know, again, when with Troy and Ethan, we want to play a, you know, a hard, simple game, and, you know, at that point, just, you know, a little too crazy.
Well, Riley Bruick seals it on an empty net goal with 56.6 seconds left. It's a 3-0 Union win, and then the fun begins. Now it's a matter of finding out whether or not Union is getting a first-round bye. Quinnipiac did its part helping Union by beating Harvard 4-1, but Dartmouth was not helping. The Big Green were trailing Princeton 2-0. They rallied in the third period by scoring twice, including one with 1:10 left. But regulation ends tied at 2, and that means Princeton clinches the final first-round bye by winning the tiebreaker over Union. The tiebreaker became moot when the Tigers won the shootout to get the extra point. I mean, disappointed?
A little bit, yeah, for sure. You know, you want to earn that bye if you can. I think you look at some of the games we gave away earlier in the season, and, you know, you get what you earn. And, you know, we gave some games up where we let that bye go.
Well, the good news is that Union is the fifth seed, and we'll play 12th-seeded Brown on Saturday. Well, let's take a break, and when we return, we'll preview this Saturday game in that first-round single elimination matchup, and we'll answer questions from our listeners. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast.
The ECAC Hockey Championship returns to Lake Placid, New York this March. Witness the first ever ECAC Hockey Women's Championship in Lake Placid on March 6th and 7th, and the Men's Championship on March 20th and 21st. It happens at the legendary Herb Brooks Arena, the home of miracles.
You believe in miracles?
Don't miss the battle for the 2026 title and an NCAA bid. Tickets are on sale now at LakePlacidOlympicCenter.com. ECAC Hockey, the educated decision.
Explore the benefits of subscribing to the Daily Gazette, like our convenient e-edition app, personalized newsletters, and unique reader rewards when you join. Start your membership today. Offers redeemable at www.dailygazette.com.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity from the first page to the last page, independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Gazette Union hockey beat writer Ken Schott, and I'm joined by Union Med's head hockey coach Josh Halgee. As I said, heading into the break, it'll be Union taking on Brown at 5 p.m. Saturday at M&T Bank Center. The Garner Chargers swept the season series, winning by a combined 7-0. Obviously, you just played them on Saturday. Does that make preparation easier?
It is really nice. You know, a lot of your pre-scout is done. You just got to see him firsthand, so It does simplify things for us. And then, you know, you're only playing one opponent. So just for us in a regular week, you're usually focusing in on two. So it is nice.
Well, there's that theory that beating a team three times in a season is tough. Also, with the disparity between the two teams, a team can be lulled into a false sense of security. A team thinks it can just show up against an inferior opponent, well, and they'll just roll over. I mean, how important will it be to stress to your players that you can't take Brown lightly, and you can look what the Union women did to Clarkson a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it, for us, it's anything can happen in the playoffs, and we got to make sure we're focused and ready. I like how our team's playing. I like where we're at, but you know, the situation when you become the, you know, in that 5-12 game, you know, we're one game away from not playing anymore.
What concerns you about Brown?
Well, their goaltender's been really good. I do think they have some, you know, players that have some high end talent that can hurt you. And, you know, I think they're playing with nothing to lose, from the coaching staff to the players. It's a unique situation where they have a new coach coming in next season. You know, we just don't want to, you know, give them hope and, you know, let them, you know, be in a game in the third period.
You mentioned Brown goalie Tyler Shea. He's played well in the two games against Union. He made 76 saves. Three of the seven goals Union scored were empty netters. So how important will it be to fire as many shots on Shea as you can and get more pucks past him?
Yeah, he's tremendously talented, and he's been really good for him. So for us, we got to make his life difficult, make sure we're taking his eyes away, making sure that we're, you know, not passing up good scoring chances. You know, you talk about the 2-on-0 we had. Parker Lindauer had a breakaway where we didn't get a, you know, a quality opportunity. So there were some chances where we just, you know, didn't get pucks to the net when we could have.
How critical will it be to take control of this game at the drop of the puck?
Yeah, it's our season's on the line right now. We have a, you know, a lot of different things, you know, going on for us as far as just what we think we can achieve. So if we're not jumping on them right away, then we're not the team I think we think we have.
Well, before we take our questions from our listeners, it was announced on Wednesday that Maryville University there in Chesterfield, Missouri, of course, a hotbed of the St. Louis Blues hockey and a lot of USA hockey, they're announced that at the launch of the Division I program for men, they'll make a transition year next season and go full D1 in 2027-28. What does that mean for college hockey to have another program?
It's outstanding, and you know, a great spot for them. And you look at like those independent teams right now, and they're trying to figure out what to do. And you have the two Alaska teams, you have the two on the East Coast, and now you have two in the St. Louis area. So I think there's some flexibility for the independents, and hopefully they can come together and do something, whether it's form a league or have those teams join in. So I think it's really good. And anytime we can add teams to college hockey, I think it's great.
So you see them going to ECAC, make a trip out to St. Louis.
Well, you know, it's funny. I knew that this might be happening because their coach reached out a couple weeks ago to see if we had any interest in playing some games next season, as they're in a spot where they'll be in just kind of playing a Division III, Division I, you know, season until they get into Division I the following year.
Well, as we always like to do here on the podcast, take questions from our listeners. Ryan Fay writes, before the season, Halgy said on the podcast that finishing fifth would be quote-unquote disappointment. In his mind, what held the team back from finishing higher in the regular season?
Yeah, I think you look, like I kind of mentioned it earlier, just some of those games that we gave away. You know, I felt like, you know, the first RPI game at home was disappointing. I felt like that was a game we, you know, could have been better. The first game against Clarkson here, I thought we outplayed them, you know, extremely, you know, it was an extremely good game for us, and we didn't finish. You know, the game against Yale, I think those are, you look at those three games, if we have a better outcome in any of one of them, we're in that spot of, you know, one, having a bye, or two, you put all three of them together, now we're talking about, you know, a completely different scenario.
Andrew Jarrett has a couple questions. First one is, in his opinion, that tripping has been especially problematic for a penalty for Union this year. It seems that if an opposing player falls and a Union stick is anywhere in the vicinity, tripping is called on Union. Should not an official only call that penalty if they actually see an actual fact for an actual stick that actually caused the actual fall? Opponents are taking dives and being rewarded for it by the refs. Union fans are outraged. Is Josh enraged too?
I I try to be pretty even keel on the bench. I think every once in a while you see me, lose my,
temper.
Yes. But I think, I can only, do so much. And I think, for us, we want to focus on us. And, a lot of times if we can have a little bit better stick detail, maybe we're not tripping or not putting it near their feet. So I think that's our focal point. But, I think there's some times I've been enraged and, have let the officials know.
Yeah. He also says 4C would be best, of course, but 5C is pretty good. Start with a relatively light week with one real game, Brown, to keep working on things, then settle in at Princeton Hotel and concentrate on the task at hand. After that series, the single elimination, NCAA bracket basically begins. Of course, you have to worry about the ECAC Hockey Final Four. This is Andrew saying, with an easily won ECAC championship along the way. Is Josh for or against taking Brown lightly in the initial phase of Union's run to an ECAC championship?
Yeah, we can't take anyone lightly. I mean, Brown has some really talented players, and we got to make sure we're ready to go. And I think it's twofold. I think obviously, we want to win our way in with the ECAC championship. But there are some scenarios where, because we're playing in this game, it does open the door for if you make it to the ECAC championship and lose in the lose that championship game, where you can still get in as an at large. Not a ton of scenarios, but it does open that up. So it is almost a benefit that we get this extra game.
Similar to the football team, Union's trimester exam week occurs during early hockey postseason play, March 16 to 19th. The following project that follows the projected Princeton series. How much impact will that have? Or are you not even worried about that at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we're aware that that's going to happen if we continue to take care of business. But all of our focus has been strictly on Brown.
Peter Bowie writes, what is a typical week of practice, classes, and game day prep look like going into the Brown game? How much time are the players at the barn daily during this or any week? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so a little bit different when we only have one game. Monday was a skills practice, just working on puck touches, finishing, just all scoring, handling pucks, pucks in feet, pucks off the wall, just making sure they're getting a lot of puck touches. Then Tuesday we just we didn't practice. We just did a video session. We did a forward video, D video, and then just 5-on-5 stuff with some specials brought in, and had lunch at the rink. Then we'll practice Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and get into it. On Saturday, where your typical week, we're skating Monday through Thursday with our lifts on Monday and Wednesday.
Well, Robert Dovsky writes, strategies for the playoffs. Any changes? What does Josh feel they need to do to win?
Well, I think we just got to play our game, that's take care of the puck, make sure we're not turning any pucks over and giving them free chances. And then for us, it's going to be just getting traffic to the net and making sure that we are making it difficult for Shea.
Jarrett LaCourte is asking, now that the format is a one-game elimination and not a best of three, does that change your approach or message to the team as you prepare?
It's a lot scarier. For us, it's, if we're not ready, you can be done. And I think we really like this group, and we have to make sure that we're competing hard right from that opening faceoff.
And Jim Calhoun writes, the Brown team playing this week that the Union will be facing will be a much stronger week. Stronger this week if Ryan St. Louis and other starters that did not play last Saturday are back in the lineup. We should stress that St. Louis did play but was injured in the first period, did not return. I think it was an upper body injury, maybe a concussion, we don't know. But how do you prepare the team to be ready to face a team looking for a strong effort after the loss last weekend?
Yeah, again, for us, it's everything for us is all about us at this point, and that's making sure we're ready. We know we're going to get Brown's best, just like we think we'll get everybody's best the rest of the way. So we have to make sure we're going to, do our core principles of which make us successful. That's just, being relentless, having a great attitude, and being selfless.
Well, thanks to everybody for the questions. I appreciate your participation. If you have a question for Josh, you can email him to Schott, that's SCHOTT, at dailygazette.com, or you can post them on Facebook on my personal page and the Parting Shots podcast page. You can also send them via Blue Sky X and Threads at Slapshots. Congratulations to Ryan Fay on winning the Daily Gazette ECAC Hockey Faceoff selections for the third time. I want to thank everyone for participating. I'll be making my picks for the ECAC Hockey Tournament first round. To play, send your picks to shot at dailygazette.com. In fact, as we speak, my picks are up now on dailygazette.com. Well, Josh, good luck this on Saturday, and we'll talk after the game.
Sounds great.
That's Josh Algy. Coming up on Thursday's podcast, I'll wrap up the Union women's hockey season with head coach Tony Macy. Then we'll dive into the men's ECAC hockey tournament. I'll have interviews with Union players Ben Muethersbaugh, Brandon Burr, and Nick Young as they get ready to face Brown. I'll talk with RPI head coach Eric Lang about his team's game at Clarkson on Friday. That'll be a 7 p.m. start up at Chiel Arena. And then Dan Rubin, who covers ECAC hockey for USCHO.com, joins me to preview the four first-round single-elimination games. I hope you tune in. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Gazette News Group. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Gazette News Group. I'm Daily Gazette Union Hockey beat writer Ken Schacht. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good hockey.